begin this evening's meeting of the Champaign County Nursing Home Board of Directors. We'll begin with a roll call, please.
Manuel.
Here.
Hartke.
Here.
Hudson.
Here.
Sutton.
Here.
Banks. Anderson.
Here. Next item will be approval of the agenda. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
I'll second.
Motion and second. All those, any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Next item, approval of the minutes of December 17, 2017. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
By Mr. Hartke.
I'll second.
Thank you, Mary. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? We move on now to public participation. Are there any members of the public here tonight that would like to address the board?
Rich, I just have one quick item.
Yes, sir.
I'm wondering why this committee doesn't start at 6:30, like the meeting of the whole. And I just wanted to get that forward. I was also, I read in the newspaper that Kathy might be meeting with supervisor board.
I didn't hear the second issue.
I read in the newspaper that Kathy might be meeting with supervisor board.
Oh. Mr. Manuel.
There's a nursing meeting that will begin at 6 p.m.
We'll begin with that one. Is there anything else? My understanding is that Mr. Manuel is timed out, if you will, only served so long on this board. Would that be correct?
This was I probably deferred it. The instruction I got from Deb Busey was that for any of us whose terms are up, we're going to go under the regulation that says until the position is filled, somebody else is appointed to the position,
correct,
we stay in it. So
correct.
I'm on it until somebody else gets appointed.
Let's hope that takes a long time.
Thank you, Jack.
And with regard to starting at 6 o'clock, that's when it was when I got here. I think this board would be willing to consider another time. Is there a reason for your question with regard to your ability to attend at 6 o'clock?
Well, it's difficult when they start serving meal
right
at 5 in the dining room.
Can I address it?
Of course.
I can't serve soup when they have a 6 o'clock meeting. There's just no time. That lots of times we don't get a meal till 5:40.
I think it's important. I think the other board members would agree that residents certainly should be able to attend these meetings along with their caretakers or loved ones. And I'd be willing to consider a suggestion for a new time, that, and we could vote on that next meeting. Since it's not on tonight's agenda, we wouldn't want to take action on that. But we could put it on next month's agenda. Let me ask, if I may, of the two people who have brought this up, what would be a better time? Would 6:30 work for you?
Yes.
Mr. Licker?
Yeah, it would work for me. Generally. I'll make it work.
You could change it.
If we make such a change, we would have to make some public notices of that to the greater community.
We're about to approve our calendar.
We understand.
Because
we're approving
our calendar this evening.
Yeah.
Yes, that we are approving our calendar. We could set it at 6:30 tonight if we wanted to.
Yeah, because we're...
No, I understand. It's it's an action by this board. It's not on the agenda.
The calendar is on the agenda,
and the calendar includes a start time of 6 o'clock.
That's true, very true.
So it can easily be amended when we approve it later.
Yeah, I think what's most important here is that the everyone who can attend, can attend. I think that it may be presenting a problem for residents. That's That's not good. Very good. We'll address that when we get to that issue, which should be very shortly, I think. Any other public comments?
I'd like to say that I'm going to talk about dietary again tonight because I think those people down there do a good job. If they've got quality product to work with, which they don't always. They are not, Sysco, which is the provider, is not providing a quality product for this nursing home, and you need to know that. How do I know it? Because I checked the containers that they come in when I accidentally found out that most of them were coming from overseas. The countries they come from are China, Indonesia, Mexico, Poland, yeah. They specialize in canned hams, mystery meat. And I'm sure that those of you who have been in the service are familiar with the term mystery meat. And but in spite of that, the people you got working for you do the best they can, and they're doing a pretty good job at it. The biggest problem they have is just having a full crew on any given night. That's why sometimes, serving starts at 5 o'clock. There's got a 15-minute window on that. But it's not uncommon to have serving start at 5:40. So that cramps up everything. And I've said time and again that one of the biggest issues with dietary is serving on time. Well, there's lots of times they don't have a full crew. They do the best they can. While I'm at it, I have a question to ask. Are the public comments part of the written record?
Yeah.
Thank you. Because I think those of us that do attend would like to have be part of the record, because I think we're giving you not unreasonable information or demands, and we think this board I'm addressing now has to speak for us at the supervisor board, and so we got to back it up with written stuff. That's about all I've got at this time. Thank you.
Ms. Koenig will speak to you, Dave, afterwards on the food issue. She has some ideas she thinks you might find satisfactory.
I got some ideas. I had some
good.
Had some either some samples to bring to you tonight, and quite frankly, I run off and left them. But you guys need to know that. You're paying for a quality product, and you're not getting it.
Well, the last meeting that we had, you had brought that up about the food, and I went back with the dietary manager and checked every container back there, and everything said it was processed in either Illinois or Wisconsin.
So I didn't find that to be true.
Yeah, I'll talk to her.
Okay.
I didn't find that to be true. And one of the things that when you look for when we have to label individual items of fruit that come into this country as country of origin, there are different ways to say that it's a USA product or a USA country of origin, when in truth it is not. And one of the things they use is processed and packed by, but does not say where it was procured from.
That's correct.
They let you make up your mind about it, and that's sneaky stuff.
Right, but you can have that dialogue with Ms. Koenig afterwards.
Okay.
She'll be ready for that. Petrie, yes.
Yes, Nancy Petrie. I'm happy to hear a positive response to his suggestion of the meeting time. Just to remind people, the reason you all meet here rather than in the Shields room, where it could be videotaped, was to enable residents of the home to attend. And if it's being pointed out that it's too difficult for people to do so because of the starting time, I encourage you all to take serious consideration of that. Mostly I wanted to applaud the extensive marketing plan that's in the packet, and want to reinforce things that I've said publicly before, and that is, every time I ask myself, why would somebody choose to come to this nursing home? How do we distinguish ourselves from all the other nursing homes in the community? So I hope that is part of your conversation this evening. Second is that the marketing plan is sensitive to our community and not a boilerplate plan that comes down, which I can speak to that a lot in my own profession, so I wanted to point that out. I have no judgment. I'm just expressing my concern about that aspect of it, and that you tap into your own resources here to get to that point. And then the last part, which I've mentioned before, and you all are working so hard with the home and staff and everything, that I want to make certain that when the marketing plan is launched, it isn't too far ahead of the ready curve, so that things are in place, so when it is launched and people start responding to the plan, that sometimes when we launch too early, there are areas that maybe would cause disappointments just because everything isn't ready and time tested for it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there any other public participation? Very good. Then we'll move on to communications. Are there any communications from board members?
Should probably do a reminder about the art fair. Mary, do you want to do that?
Just that it's the 25th of February, 1 to 5, and we're still recruiting artists to participate. There's no charge to the artists. They don't have to render a cut of their profits to the nursing home. So it's totally free to them. So
I think there was a response of 8 or 9 artists.
We have got about 9 artists right now, right. And we've got about 3 other demonstrations, and we have 2, like, refreshment groups too. So it looks like it's going to be a fairly good event, and it is along the lines of the marketing. I mean, it's right in line with the marketing plan. I think your marketing consultant has been doing a really good job in getting everybody.
And also there's a grant, a federal grant that's come via Southern Illinois University, and there's 2 local people who are administering it, called OMA, Opening Minds Through Art. And they're working with seniors, and they have a program to teach seniors watercoloring. And they'll be having a booth on the 25th to recruit volunteers to learn this program and to work with seniors here and at other places.
Right? Very good.
And we're going to be asking the advisory board to help, as we did at the ice cream social, help staff.
Being no further communications, we'll move on to item 7, approval of the 2018 calendar of meetings. I went through the calendar on the dates. It didn't say conflicts with holidays, religious or otherwise.
May I ask, May 8th is a Tuesday according to my electronic devices. Is there a reason for that?
I actually looked each one of these dates up for holidays. Maybe I didn't pick up on the fact it was a Tuesday, which you're correct, it is. change it to the 7th, unless someone knows otherwise, why we wouldn't. Thank you for catching that. May would be on the 7th.
Yep.
All right, there's been some discussion on changing the starting time to 6:30. We could speak of this more or find out that we're all in agreement or not.
I move we change it to 6:30.
Second.
All right. Move and second to move it to 6:30. And we'll move then for a motion to approve the calendar, which includes changing it to 6:30 for start time and the change of May 8th to May 7th. We have a motion.
So moved.
Moved and?
Second.
Seconded. Very good. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Very good. We'll move on now to item 8, management update, November financials.
Okay, I'm just changing it in my calendar. Good evening. I think what I could probably do is, again, give you a summary, because I think that that's probably the best way to do it. And census for November, the average census was 138, which total number. August was 132, September 132, October 137, and November 138. So we continue to build. Obviously, this is January, and I know it's tough to go back, but December was holidays, and now we're out of the holidays, and hopefully we're out of this horrible blizzard surge, so I think people are going to be coming out looking for some care homes. We hope so.
Do you know what the census is now?
That's actually a good question.
136.
136. Thank you.
So usually during the holiday season, we usually see a lot of deaths and things like that. So we're hoping that, and it usually will happen, that January and February will be good months. So net revenue has increased, consistent on a per day basis, is up 92,716, primarily due also to the increase in the IGT revenue for the first 10 months of the year, and as well as increase in census and payer mix. The Medicare census has gone up too. So for November, we're seeing on a monthly basis, everything seems to be going in a really positive direction. Operating expenses are coming down. They've come down a little, but they've stayed consistent on a monthly basis, but they were probably for even this period of time, a little higher due to the increase in the nursing payroll that we saw. Because we're talking about November. Okay. Net operating income, again, steadily improvement by $97,430. So instead of losing $223,000 like we did in August, we brought that up to losing just $70,000. So we've increased the loss by, at least $200,000, which is...
Decreased the loss.
So everything is going in a good direction. Net operating income, kind of consistent in along those lines, net income loss, we finally got to a positive number. So we're showed, $30,018 for November 2017. So that is truly moving in the right direction. Everything is moving in the right direction. We give a little bit of detail too, if you want, on the administration side, the expenses. They've mostly lowered due to the decrease in the attorney and the legal fees and finance charges. So the good thing is that we haven't had to use you know, the attorneys as the facility in the past while we were trying to work through all the issues that occurred during the summer. And then environmental services, you know, gas is higher than electricity, so we're a little bit higher. Building repairs are down. We mostly had those issues with the doors, if you remember, as we talked about in the past. So, and we're paying a little bit more attention to things around the facility. And nursing expenses increased slightly due to the orientation that we talked about last month and necessary to provide, you know, the adequate care that we need. Dietary supplies were over $9,000 due to prior period expenses recognized in November. So that's kind of a summary on the financials. You have it in your packet. So are there any questions? Flora can answer something if you need.
What's the Medicare census today?
I think it's a really important point just to stress that, I mean, you did, but kind of correcting the perception that the nursing home was losing hundreds of thousands each month, and that to say that it wasn't back in August, but we're not now, and I think that's an important point to recognize, honestly.
Yep. There's been a change.
Operational break even, essentially, which is so operationally viable.
Mm-hmm. So another area that I wanted to talk about too, which is really exciting. Now, I put the marketing plan in there on purpose because I wanted you all to see really what has gone on. I know we've talked about it a lot, but I wanted you to see how important it is that we are, you know, trying to follow that. And you're right, you don't want to start it so early, and we do quarterly marketing plans so that we can go back and review and make sure that they change. You know, for us, it's all about follow-up, and the folks in the home are the ones, you know, our people here are the ones that are following up. So we try to stay on top of that, and we clearly, you know, again, without talking about November, but December and the beginning of January, it's a holiday time, and so there's always a little bit of a lull during that time. But we have dismissed the survey agency that the facility was using on the discharge process called that they had paid someone to come in and do surveys and to map the satisfaction and those types of things. So we took that on upon ourselves. We have a program that we do this in all of the facilities called the Perception of Care, which I've enclosed so that you can see that there's purely a follow-up on people that leave the facility. Most people that get discharged, and we encourage discharges because the discharges that we want to encourage are the Medicare discharges that come in, have short stays and leave, and if they ever need care again, to come back to us. So we look at that as a very positive situation, and the perception of care is the follow-up to stay in touch with all of these people. So we talked before I walked into the room, I talked to our social worker, and she started that process as soon as she we taught her the program, and we started using it because we had to give notice to the prior company that they were no longer going to be doing that. So in the next few weeks, we should be, it covers a 30-day, 25-day process, as you can see in your folder. We should be getting evaluations during that time. So by the next meeting, hopefully we'll have some evaluations to share if you know, we get them back. You don't always, obviously, when you send surveys out to people, you don't always get them back. You hope you do. But because of the constant calling and making sure that the people are doing well and stuff in the community, which is really what a lot of the hospitals are doing now. If you're reading on the whole Accountable Care Act to stop the admissions into the hospitals. So a lot of hospitals have also presented this type of program. We've actually been doing this in our other facilities for years. So hopefully that will be a positive thing now going forward in the future. So I also wanted to remark about January 22nd, I think is the date, that we're going to be working with University of Illinois. And they are going, we're going into one of the marketing classes, and they are going to be our marketing agency. We have asked them to, we've asked to work with them. We're going to present the case study, which is the facility, and we're going to have the kids work with us and put together as part of their curriculum. We have professors that we've already talked to. We have the whole thing set up, and so there's going to be probably two classroom visits that we're going to go into the classroom, work with the kids, and then they're going to put together a whole plan for us, and they're going to work with us. So I think not only is that a positive thing for the university, it gives them an actual client to work with so that when these kids come out of school, they'll already have some experience. But it's also good for us because it's free. So we're really, really excited about that. So
on the survey, what is your experience on the response rate?
So it's obviously not 100%. Sometimes it's not 50%. But I would say that we do get 10%, at least 10 to 20%. And that's usually, you know, acceptable just we work with hospitals too, and it's the same thing. A lot of people, yeah.
Assuming pretty much the people in the survey are Medicare, they're coming and going.
It's anybody. Anybody that's discharged.
We have residents here that they don't go elsewhere. I mean, some do. Mm-hmm. Some do. I guess we get responses from that. So I'm trying to figure in my mind how many you would expect on a month, you know, on a monthly or say on an annual basis. Just thinking here, how will we know which is which? What am I looking at when I'm reading the results? If people are coming in here for Medicare and they're rehabbing, and then they leave after a week or 10 days, whatever it might be, those statistics would be right next to somebody who was maybe not, say they were not happy here, or they were happy. Either way, they changed homes for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. And how would I, you know, they may have been here a while. It doesn't tell me the length of their stay.
Well, hopefully
in the value of somebody who had been here a while,
yeah,
might get more credibility, or not credibility by no means, but I might think of them to be more forward than somebody who might have been here 4 days.
Right, that's true.
And how will I differentiate when I look at the results of the survey to know how they're responding? Because I may give weight to someone who's been here much longer.
Right.
And maybe you could categorize that in here.
So I'm not sure we ask. I actually just left the survey in the other room.
And I think we have so few that leave because of that reason, that we're usually following up on them with a phone call.
Well, so if you look at the discharge, if you look at the perception of care program, you know, we're following up within 24 hours, 5 to 7 days, and then within 24 hours of discussion, you know, and then we follow up again 25 days. We do ask for the person completing and the relation to the resident. And sometimes you don't even get that. Sometimes people do anonymous, especially if they're not happy.
That's
and you're going to get people that are unhappy because, you know, that's just, right.
Well, we hope not often.
Right. And so if you look, I think I left it in the room there, the other survey that they had that we were paying for was, didn't even, you got, oh, there it is. Oh, I knew it.
It's fine. This board had seen it more than I cared to see it.
Yeah, okay, so you knew it.
I didn't think it was so. value that we could really do much with.
No, we paid for this. So
might I suggest this in your questionnaire out to folks for discharge, that there be enough information here for us to discern how long they had been here. I don't know if I need to differentiate between VA, private pay, Medicaid, Medicare, but maybe just a sense of how long they had been here. And you could, when reporting the results, you could just simply have some columns that might say a month or less, then 2 to 6 months, or something to the effect where you're getting your response rates from.
Right.
You know, maybe six and above.
So when we put this together, and if you look at what they had before, what's important to know is people hate to do this. They don't. A lot of people don't like to do it. So what we want to do is do it so that people can fill it out as quickly as possible and to make it as easy as they can to put it in. I don't even like to put in, and I'm trying to think, I think we do have a second page. If people want to comment on it,
you do.
But I have no problem doing that. I think that's probably a good indication. I agree. I think that that's, and I think that, you know, we can suggest that and have Kay put that in.
And importantly, it's not, you know, it's a matter of you're getting feedback that's meaningful to you as part of your marketing plan.
Right.
If you're getting results that say are less than desirable. It turns out they're all coming from one category.
That's a good point.
Then maybe you might want to, especially if it's a category that pays more than the other.
Right.
You might say, well, we might actually want to pay more attention to this because this person is potentially going to have to come back in the future. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully not the immediate future. They might refer their own friends and family. And we won't get it because they weren't happy.
In the spirit of making things easier on people, the columns on page 32 are in a very strange order.
Yeah.
And I think it's not universal, to be sure, but usually you would present the options in a continuum.
Right.
And so the two stronglies would be at opposite ends, and the neutral would be in the middle.
Yes.
And
generally,
it would be more negative on the left and more positive on the right. I just think that this column order...
It might be confusing.
Could be
people.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was,
they
that was
get
my
the wrong
immediate,
data.
Yeah, that was my immediate reaction too, and it could give you the wrong data.
So, I'm sorry, so you're saying that we should do...
Just start with strongly disagree, then go to disagree, then move to neutral, agree, and then strongly agree.
Okay. Do you want to give me what you're wording, what you feel, or... And that's fine.
Yeah. What may happen here, I think if people didn't bother reading it, I think most of us who filled these, let's say I was overwhelmingly happy with the service I received here, I just go over to line on the far right and I start circling. And part of the issue with that is you're not getting the real answer because it says neutral. And also when you quantify these.
This should be one. This should be the second. I put the numbers in there.
Oh, I see what you did. Okay.
And the numbers should correspond as well because you're giving the weight of a neutral 5 points.
I don't, that's not what's indicated here. That's just the thing to circle. It's not an emphasis thing.
But if you're going to
But if you're
going to
total it, it could confuse somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I would like to think at the end, if somebody was really happy, I would look here and I'd see 4.7 as the average for their scoring. But in this case, if they were very happy, I'd only see 2 times whatever number. So it'd be a 2 or 1.7. I'd say, well, that's not very happy, but we know it is.
Okay.
You get the idea.
I agree. Okay. Thank you.
Hi. Jack, I have something else.
Yes, of course.
Okay, so this is on page 25. And I'm going to state this in a somewhat provocative fashion, but I don't mean it to be provocative because I'm not sure myself where I feel on this. But in the upper left-hand portion of that page, you have a section that begins assess each new Part A Medicare. Mm-hmm. And then after that, there's a sentence, some residents' care may be cost prohibitive, representing a losing proposition. So am I correct in saying that that is essentially saying do not admit special needs patients?
No.
Okay.
But
well, that's my reading of those words. Now,
yeah.
what our position should be is something else, but that's what I think those words say or imply.
So when we do this with the folks, you know, this was the marketing person that wrote this, but basically, you know, we can't, and no facility should be taking a resident that you can't afford to take care of.
Oh, I understand the financial aspects of it perfectly.
Yeah, and so if you have somebody that's on really, really high cost medications, or that needs special equipment, or that needs...
somebody's chemotherapy.
Right. That's not to say you wouldn't take them.
Yeah,
because
you try to work out a deal
with
the hospital.
The hospital usually cannot discharge them anywhere because facilities can't accept those types of patients because it will clearly... You can have $200,000 for one resident. So usually what we do in those types of situations is... We work with the hospital in mutually, they'll usually give something and agree to a cost either to pay as well or to provide some kind of service to meet us, you know, in the middle. So that doesn't say not to take them, but...
You have to do something special.
We can't just ignore it. We've got to do something. So that's a marketing person telling a marketing person so they understand.
And I don't see this as an individual. We could be talking about three people in the facility.
Right.
And it's like, well, we can't take a third one.
Well, you know, but usually... Right. But you don't really... You know, you try to work it out. And there's ways of working it out. So this is a way for a non-financial mind to understand it. That's their own... I don't tell people how to work things.
Bariatric beds are a good example. If you get, maybe the facility may have two or three that they own, and suddenly someone, the word gets out, hey, they'll take bariatric residents, they're 500 pounds. Well, if you've only got three bariatric beds, then you have to go rent a bariatric bed. It's very, very expensive. It's those kinds of things. So
yeah.
No, I understand that these kind of questions have to be considered.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure... Jack, you may remember commenting at one point that, you know, if we're not here to serve the people who need help, we shouldn't be in this business at all. The county shouldn't be in this business.
But that's not, again,
and
what's being said.
That's fine, but I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah, what's being said is just to be alert. We're not saying don't take them. We're saying that we've got to, you know, in her own words, and it's, you know...
And this is where one of those folks that comes and they're Medicaid pending, and that you want to make sure that internally in your facility that you're constantly calling those case managers constantly, where are we, when are we getting them approved, is there something else you need?
And I think what's important, look, this is a business no matter what, and we talk about finances all the time, so we want them, the people that do marketing, to understand finances, and I don't tell them how to say things. This is kind of like an internal document. I just wanted to show you, you know. So I appreciate the comment. I think you should feel good that we understand how to address it.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to raise it because it is a difficult issue.
Yeah,
and
it is.
And
you could just want to some serious questions. Mm-hmm. You know, when you consider these things, we were just talking about an individual or maybe two or three. But if you're expending all your funds there, how many could have you helped, you know, who just put a marginal increase?
Correct.
I know.
So it's you know, you want to do the best you can with what you got.
Most good to the most people.
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it comes down to, at the end of the day, it's a business. Or, you know, that's a rough way to say it, but it comes down to finances.
Right.
This is always going to be a watching the bottom line. And we have to as well because we're representing the taxpayers' dollars, the most we can do with those.
I have a question on the perception of care survey.
Yes.
One of the differences between this survey and the one that used to be done is this survey's discharged patients, and we know that there will be I think that's part of what you were getting to, Jack. A majority of those discharged, the higher percentage, will be Medicare just because you have more Medicare discharges. It doesn't survey existing patients and residents. Is there a way to use it for that so that instead of waiting until they're discharged, either on a quarterly or a semi-annual, I mean, you don't want to do it every month, but it'd be good to get a indicator of the people who are residing in the home, too. I don't know if there's some way to do that.
Resident Council is one arm that we use for that, and that any time that, you know, it's a resident council that there are concerns that's brought up by the resident, we figure if it's a concern for one resident, it may be a concern for many, many others. And so we really use that as a tool to look for anything that might be widespread. And then also that just any concern that's brought to us.
That's why we have social service, and Kim can also meet with people. You know, I think we have one person that does do complaints that meets with residents that have complaints. That's part of what, you know, one of our social workers does.
Any other questions? It's going to reference the management update. Seeing none, I'll move on to...
Question. I wonder if you can just give us a summary, not details, but just a summary of the AR process, because I know you were working with a firm, and I just wondered if that arrangement is still continuing.
Yes. They started the process. They were able to get information out, to get into your database and get information. They started the process. It's slow, because whatever they were able to start rebuilding, they rebuilt Stanley's Hospice. They rebuilt over 60,000 hospice on 27th of December, if I'm not mistaken. They reviewed some of the HMO claims. Some they identified as not being able to collect due to the timely filing of $2,094. I have a summary from them from last week. It's raw report yet. They don't have the final template established for us, but they were able to pull all the balances that they will be attempting to collect. It's over $1.5 million combined. They did initial assessment on privates based on the phone information that was available within the system. They made phone calls. Unfortunately, not a lot were still in service. They were able to, one family told them that they will be paying $401 in payment. Another one agreed to $613.44 payment. Hospice rebuild on the 27th total was over $60,000. I reached out to them today to see if they heard back. They said that hospice asked for another week or so. So they're working. Privates, we anticipated. They didn't see much response.
So we're trying to get weekly updates. Is that what you're
trying?
Yes. So as soon as, you know, it's kind of early now because we just started a few weeks ago. So I'd say give it another 30 days just to really see, you know, what we can get. But they've started.
Okay, that's really what I'm looking for.
My goal and my expectations from them, my goal is to collect as much as possible. My expectations from them that they report to us on what was accomplished during the week, not only of what was collected, but what was built, what is anticipated, and what's in works.
And so you think in 30 to 60 days you'd probably have
in 60 days.
In 60
well,
days,
much
pretty much, you'll know.
And probably.
This is the old stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
They're just going through the old numbers and contacts, and they get a few, although they don't hit. Now they have to start doing different
and
type
can,
of research to figure out.
If we can
where
get $4,400 payments, that's great.
Right.
It's 40 more than what we've had.
Right.
So we're going to collect whatever we can.
And I'll make sure to follow up with them on a weekly basis.
But
don't send it.
But
to
you're
me
still working with them. That's really what
absolutely.
I wondered if it was still working.
Please, I work with them on a weekly basis. At
great.
Least. Yep.
Okay. there are any other questions, we'll move on to Chair's report, item 9. We had just passed the calendar, and I noticed when I was looking at the calendar, it talks about the quarterly reports that this board is to present to the county board. And the first one is due in February. It's not actually the 13th.
Nope, it's the 22nd. It's the full county board, not the committee of the whole. So I will update that when I change the time and the other things.
And you'll adjust that for the other ones
mm-hmm.
as well. So my question was, I'm not familiar with ever seeing such a report. I know that FPA used to speak before the board. I don't believe it was on a quarterly basis, but
maybe it may have
equated to that. And it's this, and I was wondering if MPA was doing that, that's what it was. But this board is to report, not the group that was hired. Nothing personal. Because we should be representing the county's interest, and we can't expect a third party to do that. That's why we've been appointed. So I think that we should be presenting this report, which raises the question of what is the format of the report, what is the content of it, and who puts it together? Because that's beyond just a monthly meeting. Now we're talking much like your SWAT work. It takes a lot of time to compile something like that. Now, it would obviously involve working with SAK to get information.
Right.
Being compiled and brought back to this group for our next meeting, which would be before its presentation to the full board. So that would give us the opportunity to see it before the next meeting. Anyone could bring any changes or recommendations at that meeting, and then we would have a chance to finalize it and forward it on to the county board. Whether the question is it just in written form, or is it also a presentation as well? If that's the case, if it's a presentation as well, I can do that on behalf of this board, but SAK would be available for the other questions beyond the report. Kind of making sense what I'm saying? Josh, what are your thoughts?
Well, I can say that, yes, MPA always gave us a quarterly presentation to the county board. That's always happened. It was regularly on our agendas. I would have concerns about not having SAK present for this because usually the county board's questions get into a lot of detail that some of us aren't necessarily aware of, and they deal with these numbers day in and day out. You've been under the grill with those guys before. You know how it can get. While I certainly don't have any problem with this board presenting a report to the county board, I would remind the chair that he and the board, several members of the board last month, voted to eliminate this board. So I don't see how if this board is eliminated, it could report to it. So that seems like an odd conflict to try to eliminate the board last month and now want this board to start reporting more. So if that's what we need to do, then that's what we need to do. But I would have concerns about SAK not being a part of it.
And you know, as Josh said, MPA did do it quarterly. And on occasion, when I was chair, I attended and reported too. So I think the process you're suggesting is a really good one. And if we reviewed it before it went, then if we have the recommendations, because a couple of times we would take recommendations, that way you've set up a process for bringing the recommendations so that there's clear communication about what this board has looked at and what they think about it and what they at least would like the county board to think about. I think that's a great idea for a process. I agree with Joshua, it won't work if this board goes away, but if until it does, I think that's a great suggestion for a process.
That's exactly it. But this board's not going away.
No, and I agree. I think you want your
as we're required.
And you do want your management. I mean, you've hired SAK to be management. You want them to be there and help prepare the presentation, I think.
Absolutely. I wouldn't want to be sitting there.
Right.
presenting.
You don't want to sit in our seats?
Well, not for the questions, as Josh correctly pointed out, that are more in the weeds than we normally get into.
Right.
Because you gave a great summary tonight, but it's not in the weeds.
Right.
I would probably just use the information that we have been receiving.
Well, we're happy to assist with
right.
whatever you need.
And I don't anticipate a large report. I mean, I don't know the number of pages. I don't think I can find it to the pages more. Figure out what needed to be told to the board in a summary format. And if they have questions inside of that, then SAK can answer, but it'll be a summary report just for the quarter.
Yeah, I think you could task a group with coming up sort of like a template so that every month you don't have to come up with a new, but just like you're doing here, here's the financials that you want to see in the format each month, and here's key findings or conclusions or key projects right now or something like that, and that might make it a little simpler for you and even SAK to be able to plug that in every month, and also provide some consistency for the county board in looking at, okay, what are we looking for?
Right. I think based upon what I'm hearing now, I will put together the elements. I don't know what they'll entirely look like, and it may just be some raw information that may not be accurate, but it's just kind of a outline. Have some discussion with SAK and say, hey, you know, let's fill in the blanks and add what we need to. And then I can prepare that and have it ready for the next meeting. And I think that'll be enough meat for us to work with and allow us to interject any other ideas and information that might want to be added or taken away from it. And I'll just take that on myself. I should have different annual report I was working on something else. I'll just set that aside for a while, do a quarterly, and then get back to an annual of another organization. Yes, Mary?
You know, based on past meetings between MPA and the county board, you know there's a number of accountants on the board, and you know from past experience what kind of penetrating questions they want to know, things they want to know about. They want to know about accounts receivable, they want to know about accounts payable, they want to know census, they want to know payer mix, all those things. So you already know what things you've got to hit on. If you don't, they're not going to ask. But I think one thing that we don't talk about very much at these meetings, or I'm sure at county board meetings, are the social side.
Sure.
So, for example, Patsy Petrie will say, you know, why aren't you guys doing such and such? Well, maybe it's something we've been doing for years, but we're so focused on the financials and concerned about that, rightly so, that sometimes, you know, some of the good things that are going on here aren't talked about. And that's really part of the PR package, the marketing. Just for our own county board members to know some of the activities that go on out here, so they can talk about it too, and they can be part of the good news. So I would suggest that in any reporting that you do, don't forget about that side. You know, if we have an employee event like the Thanksgiving dinner, an employee recognition event, or an upcoming event such as the art walk, anything like that, I think the board members should be aware of it.
Yeah, I agree. Josh?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Mary. In fact, before this board of directors existed, there was a regular report done through the Justice and Social Services Committee on the county board, and that was suggested, I believe, by Stephanie and Lorraine last week, that we start having some sort of report out on a quarterly basis from this board through Justice and Social Services to talk about the other parts of the nursing home that are not just the financial numbers, because there's a lot more going on here than numbers. So that might feed really well into the idea that Stephanie and Lorraine had last week.
I think it's a great idea. Mary's observation is correct, and by the time it gets to the board, they need to be reminded not only about the nursing home, but the other activities that the county board is supporting, whether by mandate or otherwise. and it sometimes it gets, by the time it gets that level, it becomes a matter of the checkbook.
Right.
As opposed to.
And we understand that. Yeah. But if we want them to be part of the marketing team, I mean, yes. Everybody should be in on this together, and you can't do it if you're not informed about,
especially
know,
the art walk. I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's going to hopefully be a great event.
Right.
Yes. Okay, I'll put something together. I'll
Thanks.
Work with SAK in getting the data I need to do that. And we'll get it out to you for next meeting so that we can have a discussion and pretty much start to finalize it at that point. And I'll make sure it gets out to you before it's presented to the full board,
right.
No matter what it is. And if someone really has issue with it, just deal with me directly and I can change it because I know I could make a mistake last minute and not realize I hit or, you know, put the wrong number in the wrong spot. Who knows? Okay. Status on the Illinois Department of Public Health December 2017 inspection of the nursing home. I have talked with SAK. They have received a response from the state informing them about their findings, and SAK will have the opportunity to respond to that. And once that happens, then it becomes a matter of the public record. And I think it's only appropriate that SAK have that opportunity before we discuss it. Thing that was brought up. I can only quantify or qualify that there was nothing serious. All right? Probably more administrative along those lines. But even so, I won't go beyond that. We'll all see the results soon once the responses are given back to the state. And I think that's just fair because otherwise people could read what the state may have listed as an issue. And misinterpreted that, you know, not realizing it was just simply a matter of doing X that was so minimal that it didn't affect it in any way. It wasn't a safety issue or anything like that. So I think that's a fair thing to do on behalf of the home. And so that disinformation doesn't get out to the public because not everybody understands what's the lingo in the medical field. Enough said of that. Okay, then we'll move on to our next meeting date and time, which is Monday, February 5th.
It's 12th. I'm sorry, that's totally my bad. It's right in the sentence above and wrong in that one.
Okay. February 12th, which is a Monday, at 6:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And that will conclude tonight's meeting, and I'll move for adjournment. Thank you very much.